Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This ball sends it over to Edward Robles. Go and Surname FC!
What is up, everybody? My name is Hector Flores, host of Insert Name FC, and with me, as always, is my best friend and other host of the show, Evan Robles.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So, if you guys are probably wondering, it sounds like that we are on a Zoom call. It's because we are on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
Homeboy over here got the COVID shot, or the vaccine.
Okay, and, this isn't a side effect of the COVID. But, all right, so for people that don't know, I am completely vaccinated from COVID, I guess you could say, but I think like I'm not fully gonna be good till like 28 days. So I think I'm still kind of like a few days away from hitting that. But at the same time that I was getting my second COVID vaccine, I was starting to develop a cold. And so I'm right now in that moment where I'm not entirely sure if this is the COVID vaccine doing all this, or it's the cold, or maybe a combination of both, like the COVID vaccine just made my cold worse. It's basically the argument that I'm currently in, and we don't know. So, but yeah, I'm obviously sick. I don't want to get Edward sick because obviously he's a father of two boys, very small boys that seems to get sick very often. So I try to get
everyone sick. By the time they get older, their immune system is going to kick ass with all the sickness they've been through.
They are the cure.
And they're a fucking generation.
They're Iron Legend.
Oh, pretty much, dude. Bro, like, they're
Will Smith was the cure.
No, dude, this generation of kids, bro, I think they're going to be the cure. They're going to be the ones that are like going to have the immune system of like the bosses and shit. You're gonna be killing it, man.
Oh yeah, most definitely. But mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So that is exactly what's going on. So I am fully vaccinated, thanks to the VA. Something I never thought I would say. There's something positive about the VA, but here we are. as I'm popping. See, even my body's like, Hector, stop saying nice things about the VA. But here we are. So, but I will say though, it took forever to get that second shot, because there was at one point where we're all sitting there waiting to get our vaccine that they ran out at the VA. So I was like, okay, so you know, obviously VA is gonna VA, if you will. But yeah, so obviously I did get vaccinated. I got my little sticker. I don't know what, I haven't put it on, or I don't know what to do with it. But I got my, it's like the equivalent of like the people that like I voted, they put like little I voted stickers.
I got the vaccine.
Yeah, I got the vaccine. Like, you have to put it on social media.
Damn. What are you
doing, right? But anyways, man, we got another good show for you guys. Actually, we got a really jam-packed show. So we got headlines. We have game recaps. We have players of the week. We have game previews. And we will also be previewing because next week kicks off the MLS or Major League Soccer or the league that Edward literally has no knowledge on.
No knowledge. My knowledge is still with Brian Chang. Think about that.
So this is going to be very entertaining, nonetheless. But yeah, so that's going to be what's coming up, man. So before we get to that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. You guys can hear an interview.
Woo!
Ooh, man, COVID's doing something.
Yeah, I'm telling you that.
COVID vaccine.
The vaccine. Side effects include loss of memory for a second.
if you feel you have any tendencies of Edward, it's the vaccine.
Yeah, it's the vaccine. Yep. When you have brain farts. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go. You guys can go ahead and listen to some ad read, and we'll get going with the show.
Ugh, my cable bill's through the roof again.
Why don't you switch to Fubo TV?
What is Fubo TV?
Fubo TV is a streaming service that provides over 100 channels and without the hassle of a cable contract, so you can cancel at any time.
That sounds too good to be true.
Well, if you go to the bio of our Instagram or Twitter at InsurnameFC, click on the link tree, and go to our Fubo TV link, you can start a 7-day free trial. Not only will you be freeing yourself from cable, but you will also be supporting the InsurName FC podcast and the Unhinged Sports Network.
I'm going to start my 7-day free trial right now.
And we are back. Shout out to that amazing sponsor, a partner of ours. I got to be careful with saying sponsor and partner of ours. So make sure you guys take full advantage of that special that we have with that partnership. Because, you know, it not only does it help yourself, but it helps us as well and the Unhinged Sports Network. So make sure you guys go into our link tree that's available on both our social media platforms, on InsurnameFC on Instagram and Twitter. The link is on the bio. And you go ahead and take advantage of those great partners that we have here at the Unhinged Sports Network.
Yes, sir.
All right, Edward, headlines, man. So before we get going with these headlines, man, we're going to start off with Transfer Watch. It's crazy to think that, you know, we're only 2 months left into the season. So now you're going to start seeing the maneuverings and the rumors for some upcoming transfers, man. This summer is going to be really big. I think there's going to be some massive changes in the whole realm of the soccer world, in my opinion. What do you think?
I mean, especially in the European soccer, dude, like that. Those are the big names that are going to be moving around. So I'm excited to see what's going on. You said the soccer realm, so could be MLS involved. Could be Liga MX involved.
Maybe the MLS can get somebody.
we'll keep you up to date to that, guys. If MLS.
All right. So here's some transfer rumors. We're not going to go like in depth with all of them, but we're just going to say it out there, just so you guys know it's out there. All right. Start things off. Harry Kane. Tottenham has now put a price tag on Harry Kane for 175 million euros.
Damn, that's a hefty price tag there.
Yeah, man. I mean, let's be real. I mean, Harry Kane is definitely a really great striker, very seasoned striker, knows what he's doing. Kind of, I guess you could say, the British version of Robert Lewandowski.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that.
You could.
Maybe some won't, but definitely someone to keep an eye on. I'm sure he wants to win something at some point. So, you know, maybe and at 175 million, maybe that helps Tottenham. But let's face it, Tottenham's going to Tottenham, in my opinion. But, but yeah, so that's that rumor. Also, this isn't necessarily a rumor, kind of just like it did happen. Aguero watch. Okay, we'll start with Aguero watch, and then we'll go to the other one that I was. Ooh, man, this COVID vaccine is doing things to me. But so
that's what you mind.
Sergio Aguero will not be returning to Manchester City. As a matter of fact, he will be a free transfer, similar to Lionel Messi. Is going to be a free transfer, so it's going to be interesting to see where Sergio Aguero lands. The heavy favorite right now is Barcelona. A lot of people believe that Barcelona will be getting Sergio Aguero. Some other clubs that have been thrown in there is Arsenal. Making his return to Argentina, which I think will be really interesting to see if that happens. Real Madrid, I mean, Atletico, make a return to Atletico, a club that he was played for. And all the way down from all those possibilities is the MLS.
Yeah, I mean, it's intense. I mean, he could pull the whole Fernando Torres thing where after he went to China or Japan? I can't remember. But after he went to the the East, I guess you could say. I'm not exactly 100% sure. I can't remember the
team. Riker just said Asia, but okay.
Asia, okay. Well, he went back to Atletico Madrid, right, for one last season?
Yes.
And he retired. So Agüero could actually try to do that with Atletico Madrid as well. I mean, they're...
I mean, Agüero's obviously getting up there in age, but I think definitely still has something where he could definitely still play in the top level in Europe. But I mean, if he wants to try elsewhere, I mean, Asia is definitely an interesting place. MLS, I think, is always something enticing for some of these European-based players, just because I think a lot of them do love America in some way.
Yeah.
But I mean, also the obviously he's an Argentine. But, you know, his father-in-law was Diego Maradona. Maybe he wants to go back to Argentina and be with family. Could be another avenue, but it'll be interesting to see where Agüero will go. So we'll definitely have our eyes on Agüero watch, along with Lionel Messi. And then obviously, super team. Throw that out there as well.
The super team watch. See what's going to be possible.
All right, so
you can make it happen.
All right, so the other one that I was going to say before I just kind of had a brain fart was the representation of Erling Haaland. Were in Spain. That is correct. In the same day, Erling Haaland's representation, which was his agent and his father, went to Barcelona, which everybody was like, oh, Haaland's going to Barcelona. And then, as soon as they were done with that meeting, went to Madrid to go talk to Real Madrid. So now, nobody knows what's going on. I'm sure that they're going to continue to do their thing. Obviously, Erling Haaland has been rumored with Real Madrid and Barcelona already. We've heard the rumors for Manchester City as well. Pep Guardiola did mention that they will not be seeking out a forward this coming transfer window. So I don't know if he's just trying to throw some smoke and mirrors out there, but that is something to keep an eye on for. Where is the future of soccer, another contender for Ballon d'Or? Where will he be landing as well?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of throws a lot of questions up in the air, because I think even then, do you think he'll end up in the EPL, La Liga, and of course, which team? Everybody's going to be excited to see that. Like, everybody's just going to be keeping an eye on him for sure. Or he may decide to stay in Dortmund. Who knows? Dortmund may give him an offer, another extension, and we don't know yet. We don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just
The other thing to remember is that Erling Haaland does have, in 2022, will have around 80 million euro release clause. So, I mean, teams could probably just be patient and just wait out till for the cheaper option, I guess you could say, because I feel like you could definitely throw out that Erling Haaland could probably get that massive transfer offer, could maybe hit the 200, maybe even hit the 300 million mark in his transfer. But that is an option for some clubs, especially right now, obviously, with COVID being something that kind of took back a lot of teams and finances. But we'll definitely keep an eye on to see what happens to Erling Haaland. Arsenal's looking at right backs. That's happening. Two players that I know for sure that I've seen rumored with Arsenal have been Hakimi from Inter Milan, which, by the way, their new logo, trash. Just going to put
that out. They said it was the Autobots mixed with the Inter Milan emblem.
Oh my god! It looks like a Skittle, or an M&M. I guess it's like,
oh man.
Anyways,
no, I've seen. Go ahead.
Hakimi, and then the other player, the right back at Brighton, Tarki, I think his name is Tarki. As an Arsenal fan, I mean, I love the idea of being rumored with Hakimi, especially because Real Madrid was dumb enough to let that man leave. But what does that mean for Maitland-Niles? I always mix up the N's and the M. But yeah, what does that mean for him? Obviously, he's a right back, same position, and you have Arsenal looking at right backs. And then also, what does that mean for Bellerin as well? That has to mean that Bellerin's out the door as well if Arsenal is looking for right backs.
I mean, if anything, Bellerin could just go back to Spain.
Could be.
He still has that good potential.
Make his return to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Well, does Barcelona
win? Well, no. I don't think so. But he could go somewhere else in Spain.
Maybe he goes join the super team in PSG.
Oh, that would actually... Damn. That's possible. Now you got me looking at...
All right. So for our American listeners, I mean, I guess most of our listeners are Americans. So I don't know what... The American sports listeners that we have here probably don't know much about soccer. If you guys didn't know this, LeBron James is part of the ownership group for Liverpool. And Liverpool is prepared for this. This is the reason why Liverpool has LeBron James with them. And that is to entice, because if there's one thing we know about LeBron, he knows how to build a super team. And that is what Liverpool is going to do, because they're going to use LeBron to talk to Mbappe to come to Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna use LeBron as like a bargaining chip almost, and they're gonna let him just do the talking.
Exactly. I mean,
he has a professional relationship with Mbappe, you know, a business relationship. So they're gonna yank on that and be like, hey, can we talk you off for a second? We want you to do something for us. And
prepare to see Mbappe.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh crap. Hey, for all you know, that might be the way to do it. He might do like a small little cameo.
That was the settlement. That was what got the deal. I'll put you.
That's what, quote unquote. That is what Mbappe is joining. This is why Mbappe is joining Liverpool. He was going to be in Space Jam 2, and he will have his own Space Jams signed by LeBron, and he will have his own brand of Space Jams, the Mbappes. You know how Neymar had the hypervenoms and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you never know. Crazy crap like that could happen, man. It's pretty funny to think about if that's going to be the bargaining chip.
I mean, Liverpool is in the mix for Mbappe as well as Real Madrid. Also being in there, and they're willing to throw out $100 million plus Vinicius Jr. to get Mbappe. It's going to be interesting to see where PSG ends up going. Oh, and also what Mbappe wants to do, because obviously... He can literally say no to any of these offers. And as we got two more left. So Juventus is looking to get Locatelli, a young promising Italian defensive midfielder, part of that future for Italy. A lot of people believe that him and Tonali will be, I guess, essentially your Gattuso and Pirlo pair up like they had in years past. And obviously they did win a World Cup, so probably a great thing to be compared to. But yeah, Juventus is prepared to go and get Locatelli this summer. And definitely, like kind of how we said before, they're trying to build a team around Cristiano Ronaldo. So the defensive side needs to definitely work, get a little bit better as well. And I think this is a guy that can definitely come in and help right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's very well put. I think I don't know, man. With Juventus, it's just they're very filled with midfielders. I think like they're up there with having so many midfielders that it's crazy to try to bring in more. So.
That's true. No, I get what you're saying. But yeah, so there's that. And then the final rumor that we've been hearing is Lucas Vazquez, who is a right winger, but seems more often now we're seeing him at right back for Real Madrid, is actually in a lot of teams' wish lists, specifically Chelsea and Manchester United's wish list. I think that Lucas Vazquez, I don't necessarily think they're going to bring him in to be a right back. I think the right winger is going to be the position that he's going to end up playing for them. But it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, because Chelsea, obviously, you know, you have a lot of guys that can play in the right wing. And then Manchester United, are they looking to change things up? Is old Gunner trying to do something here? But yeah, Lucas Vazquez is a one.
You never know what old Gunner's trying to do. So for all we know, he'll get Lucas Vazquez and play him as a striker. Because his plans are all over the place, but somehow they end up working.
Or maybe he saw like how the competition's been going with Christian Tellez and Luke Shaw, and he wants to do that with Juan Bissaka.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like, hey, it worked on the left. It can work on the right.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. Bro, like, I swear to God, like, old Gunner, even the way he speaks, it's kind of like that. He just says whatever he's thinking at the moment, and then he kind of rethinks it. He's like, well, you know, wait, let's back up. And then he just kind of does the complete opposite of whatever he said, and then just, and somehow it works.
All right. But yes, yeah, so that is our transfer watch. Some interesting stories to follow, especially as we get closer to the end of the season. And once that summer transfer window opens up, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens and how much is going to shake up in soccer for that. But Edward, let's get going with some headlines, man. McKinney, Dybala, and Arthur were suspended from the Torino game. And it was because Weston McKennie wanted to throw a house party.
COVID party. Yay.
So in the attendance of the party was Dybala and Arthur, plus 20 other people, which obviously clearly breaking COVID restrictions. Not only the fact that they had more than 20 people, clearly 23 people, if you include McKennie, Dybala, and Arthur, but obviously also breaking the mandatory curfew that Italy has, which is between 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Police were alerted and arrived at McKennie's home at 11:30 p.m. And obviously, Andrea Pirlo chose to suspend the three from their game against Torino, which I believe they drew against. So, yeah, man. This is not a good look for Weston McKennie, obviously, a player that we've heard that...
You know, we've been
build around from, and yeah. He pulls this.
We've been hyping him up. It's kind of like the same with me and Phil Fun. Like when all the stuff happened with the England and the hotel and the girls and stuff like that. Kind of like, hey, I'm hyping this kid up. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm hyping up his skill. But it's the same way with McKennie. I was hyping him up and I was excited and everything. Right now, I'm still excited for him to be on the team and everything. It's just now with just this. Breaking the COVID protocols and stuff, it kind of puts you in the spotlight in a very negative way. So,
oh yeah, totally. I agree with that. It's just it definitely. Yeah, you know, I think you gotta remember that Weston's very like. I mean,
yeah, he's young. He's young. He's
so. I mean, like. Let's face it, he's doing what most people his age would do in these circumstances. You know, obviously they don't.
Hell, we know people who is his age that probably did the same exact. They're always posting it up on Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook, talking about, hey, we're at a party. Like, dude, do you not realize what's going on in the world?
Yeah, so I mean, it's definitely not a good look for him. But aside from that, I mean, you know, just do better, Weston.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so I mean, and then obviously Dybala, a player that hasn't been playing that much as well due to injuries, and I believe he also has gotten COVID a few times.
He got COVID like two or three times, I believe. He was positive twice, I believe.
So, I mean, this man is playing a dangerous game right now.
No, he is. And I mean, he is like La Jolla. He's the gym, but now... You've been out for so long. You plan on coming back in and scoring your goals and doing assists and playing like the same way you used to play without seeing what's out there right now. Like it's not going to be the same, man. Especially coming out of injury and stuff. No, rehab, that's all. It's not going to be the same.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And then, of course, Arthur, a guy that came in from Juventus from a player's pop to Pjanic. I mean, I'll mention that, but that did happen. He's not really getting much play time as of lately, but well, he's definitely not getting much playing time after this one as well. So yeah, it's not a good look for these three. Careless, irresponsible. You know the rules there in Italy. Just follow them. Eventually, this is going to be over. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing really much else to say. We're rooting for you, McKennie. We were all rooting for you.
Yes, yes.
Just Jesus Christ, man. But yeah, all right. So, kind of going into another headline, and this one just, Oh man, this one, I don't know what to tell you, man.
This one just grinds your gears.
I think grinds my gears, not the right word for it, but Valencia ends up walking off during their match against Cadiz. So in the situation, Juan Cala ends up calling Diakabi a racial slur. The Frenchman heard it, reacted. Referee, I believe, gave him a yellow card as well. Obviously, once everyone kind of realized what was the situation, the Valencia players chose to leave the pitch, and I believe this was the first half, like in the 30-minute mark. The game was 1-1 at the time, and they leave the field. They go into the locker rooms, and Cadiz are just kind of just standing there. And the thing that I kind of want to point out, as all this is going on, Juan Cala, you know, obviously is kind of trying to say, I didn't say anything. But if you paid attention to that situation, you could see him kind of changing throughout. Like he went from like, I didn't do anything to like, crap, I did say something. And like realizing it was more like now he's like, it was like he's trying to play innocent, like he didn't do anything, he didn't say anything, that he's lying, all that. But then as he's seeing Valencia literally leaving the pitch, he's realizing like, oh my God, I did this. Yeah. I don't know what the word was said, but I'm knowing Spanish players, is definitely, I can maybe take a guess, but I don't want to. But yeah, so that happened. Then eventually, the officials came in, talked to the players of Valencia, saying like, if you guys do not return to the field, you will end up losing 3 points, and there's nothing, you know, this is going to come out as a loss for you, unless you choose to go back out on the field. Valencia was more than prepared to go ahead and take that loss. They were actually, no, we're gonna stand by our guy. You know, this isn't right. You know, all the things that, you know, you want to do to support your teammate. Diakabi actually told the team to go back out there on the field, but he did ask to be subbed out because he was not able to get him recomposed to go back out to the field. And so, Valencia ends up winning this game 2-1, but I don't necessarily think this is a game that anyone can take any pride in.
Yeah, and just, it was just bad. And the Cadiz delegate actually decided to take out Diakabi, and they subbed him out. Like, you know, they subbed him out and they continued the game.
Cadiz took him out?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Valencia took him out and they subbed him out, basically. And they continued the game. But Diakabi was the one that said, yeah, go ahead and continue the game. Like, he was the one that told him to go out and play while he stayed in the locker room. He didn't want to be part of that. He was upset.
As well, Juan Cala also was subbed out. The manager came up with some BS saying that, oh, he was already on the yellow card. He didn't want to risk him getting suspended for a game, which I'm pretty sure that's still going to happen. Once again, like I said, this isn't going to end overnight. It's just not, but it just sucks. Like, I'm just going to say that it just sucks. Especially, like, you know, and I think we say this over and over again, you know, we call this a beautiful game, a game that, you know, there's so many cultures that come and play in this game. It's a game that unites the world and all that stuff. And then this, it's just kind of like, you know, like, that just shows you this is a larger issue than just going on in the US. It's everywhere. That's just kind of what it is. But the fact that the Valencia players were there to stand with their teammate, I think was really great. And I think that at least showing some signs of progress. I don't know how many all will feel, but I feel like that was some sort of progress. They stood with their teammate. And that's what I love. That was the part that I love seeing.
I was reading up right now. Juan Cala will speak to the media on Tuesday after the training session about this incident. So, I mean, we're recording now on Monday, so it's gonna unfurl more and more and more. And Valencia has called a full investigation on the cut on this incident. So we'll figure out what happens, and hopefully it does get resolved, and there is justice on this front. Because I, for one, I'm not one to stand for this. So this whole racism thing is going off, and of course, and you start there. There's a lot of teams that start the game off with the note of racism, you know, everything, and there's banners everywhere, and for that shit to happen on the field, and we've had incidents already happen like that. So just it's aggravating to see that it's still going on. But like you said, like you saw Juan Cala, his reaction, he was like, no, I didn't do anything and everything. And as soon as he started seeing everybody, he was just kind of like realizing, well, damn, I caused all this. Whether he said that anything at all, like in that way, or if he said something that was taken out of context and almost sounded like racism, which that's really hardly ever the case when it comes to these situations. Then yeah, it's pretty drastic. So, Cadiz basically they're backing their players up, saying, no, well, you know, they're saying our members, they don't lie, they're a team. But I mean, is that just the team covering for their teammate, or is it just they know what happened and they're just covering it up, or they are being legit and he didn't say anything? We still don't know yet.
There were some players that definitely said they did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Jesus.
Yeah. No. So, no, it's still an ongoing issue. It's going to be an ongoing issue for a while. Like I said, at least I'm happy to see that Valencia stood with the Akabi.
Yeah, of course. And that's what you want to see, is like a team standing all, even for just the last player, the one player. That's something that you love to see. Something that signifies that shows you there's a unified, united front, especially in a situation like such as this.
Exactly. So, this is definitely an unfortunate situation. And this is a situation that's going to continue to happen. But I think seeing what Valencia was able to do to stand with Maccabi, I think it's, once again, I think there's some progress. You know, no one, you didn't see any of the Valencia players like, oh, let's go back out there, let's play. Like, they're like, no, this isn't acceptable. We're going to leave. So
yeah,
that's what I was happy to see. Obviously, you know, Diakabi told them to go back out there. The fact that they still with their guy and were willing to take a loss for it, because obviously this is bigger than just a game, and they showed.
Yeah, I mean, it's so.
All right, sorry. Man. So we gotta move on from this. Unfortunately, obviously, we could probably dedicate a whole episode to this issue, but, you know, we got other things to talk about.
We
got to
move on.
And it's debate time, Edward.
All right.
So this debate topic was actually going to be a headline, but then as a shout out to my good friend Eric Cruz, I asked him because I needed a debate topic. So he actually brought this up. So I was like, you know what? He inspired me to do this debate topic. And I mean, it was going to be something we were going to talk about anyways, but I think it is a pretty good debate topic to have. So for those of you, if you guys, one, this is going to be dropped on our social media, on Instagram, Twitter, at InsertNameFC. So if you guys want to go ahead and chime in your opinion on this debate topic, make sure you guys go ahead and drop it in the comments on those posts. As well, if you guys have an idea for a debate topic that you want to hear us debate on, throw it as well in those comments, or send us a personal message as well, or DM us. Once again, Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC. Give us your debate topic, and not only will we, you know, if we like it, not only will we just have it on the show, but we'll also give you a shout out on those Instagram and Twitter posts. So there is that. Yep. So Edward, the debate topic is it Jose Mourinho or is it Tata? To give you some context, Tottenham gave up yet another goal in the final 10 minutes of a match, recently being a 2-2 draw against Newcastle. Tottenham has now dropped 11 points in a similar fashion. For those that don't understand that, 11 points, obviously, you know, in soccer, if you win, you get 3 points. If you draw, you get 1 point. If you lose, you don't get it. So they have dropped 11 points, meaning that they were either they had a tie or they were winning a game, and they allowed a goal in the final 10 minutes to alter what was going to be the result from that, which obviously those points are crucial, especially when you're trying to put yourself up in the Premier League tables. So, Fun fact, Jose Mourinho has been very well and very successful in maintaining leads. As Robo's soaring up a storm right now, as I'm saying this. So the media asked Mourinho, hey, what's going on? Like, this is usually your specialty, is defending a lead. And Mourinho's response was, same coach, different players.
Yeah.
One for one, so, Jose Mourinho is fully back. I think we can definitely say that with full confidence now.
Pretty much, he's back to the old Mourinho.
Yep. We told y'all, Tottenham, how this goes. Yeah. We've never seen this dance before. This is Jose Mourinho being Jose Mourinho. He's a great manager, I'll give him that. But this is why people don't like
him. Yeah, I mean, and then that's the thing that happened with Man U. He was like, oh, I'm all excited to be with Man U. They were doing good for a little bit. Then everything started going down and down and down and down and down. And all of a sudden, he's basically trying to deflect blame. He was like, no, he's like, I'm the great one. He's like, I'm not, that's not me. He's like, it's the players. I was like, bro, you had the same players and you were doing great, which he was doing great. He was doing amazing with Tottenham. Like, dude, come on. Even I was like thinking, man, these dudes are actually going to make it. Like, damn. And just little by little, they started kind of deflating and started, you know, I guess you could say going back to where they were. But I want to say, maybe it's the coaching, man. I want to say maybe it's the coaching.
I mean, so you're gonna say it's Jose Mourinho?
I think so, man. You got players of high caliber. I'm not saying you got a Erling Haaland or Messi or Ronaldo up front, you know, like Neymar, but you got players of a high caliber to play for you. And I mean,
I'm just gonna say this.
All right.
This is still the same Tottenham, like the roster, at least roughly this roster, is still the same Tottenham team that went to the Champions League final.
With Pochettino. Exactly.
I'm with you. I think it's Jose Mourinho. I think it's just his tactics is so outdated. Are you gonna let me
go ahead?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. the whole parking the bus that strategy being defensive, it just doesn't work anymore. You still do need to have good defense. Like that's not gonna change. But look what's going on around in all of soccer right now. It's all about strong attacks, quick potent attacks. Yes, that works with the counterattack. And the counterattack is still a very viable strategy. But you need to be more. You need to have a strong attack. Because you're not, especially when you want to compete with the likes of Bayern Munich, with the likes of Real Madrid, like with the likes of Barcelona. I'll throw Barcelona out there. I don't care. With Manchester City and Liverpool, all these teams have very potent attacks. They do have some good defenses as well. Okay, maybe not Liverpool right now, but they do have some good defenses as well. But their attacks are what scares you. And when you look at Tottenham, you have you have Heung-Min Son, you have Gareth Bale, which you don't really use that much, and you have Harry Kane. And yes, you are scoring goals, like that's what you're doing. But that these are guys you gotta let them keep going. Like you can't let them just ease up. You can't do that. You can't play conservatively when you have guys that can keep running up the score. Run up the score, because honestly, goal differential is probably a big deciding factor, especially on those final days when you're trying to look for positioning.
Yeah.
And Jose Mourinho's tactics is just, I don't think it works anymore. I think they're stale and people are figuring it out for years. I think everybody's seen Jose Mourinho's tactics. Everybody has beaten Jose Mourinho's tactics. And that's just kind of what happens. I mean, let's face it, the cycle of Jose Mourinho, whenever he goes to a new club, goes in there, you know, obviously he's a very, it's his way or the highway kind of guy. You know, people buy in it, they look good the first couple of years, and then people get really irritated about Jose because of his arrogance. Because it's never his fault. And I mean, obviously, clearly, that's his response, shows you that, once again, it's not Jose Mourinho's fault that Tottenham struggled. It's not your fault that you lost to Dinamo Zagreb. It's not your fault that you're not contending for the English Premier League. It's not your fault. It's never your fault, Jose. But in reality, it is your fault.
Yeah, I mean, he just does everything so, I don't know. I believe being humble is the key, especially as a coach, even though you have like the all-star players. But it just lets you know, like, hey, you're down to earth. With him, he's like, I'm the great one. Like I said, he's like, this isn't my fault. Yeah, the special one. And it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I didn't like him as a coach for Man U. And I really like him as a coach for Tottenham, and I really thought he was doing great. I just now, as soon as all this shit starts going downhill, he starts blaming everything else. Hell, he'll bring the trash can if he can. He'll be like, oh, the trash can was in my way when I was trying to coach, so it's the trash can's fault when I try to explain a situation, and then everybody had to go.
All right, so but as you can tell, me and we're both on the side that Jose Mourinho is the reason why Tottenham is struggling. So
he's a great coach. Don't get me wrong. It's just he has to have.
He needs to be more accountable for himself.
There you go. He has to have more accountability.
Anyway, so if you guys, once again, this is going to be dropped on our social media and Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC. Jesus Christ, at InsertNameFC. So if you guys want to go ahead and give us your 2 cents, your thoughts on this debate topic, go ahead and share it there as well. And if you have an idea for a future debate topic, drop it in there as well. Or if not, just send us a personal message. Once again, on Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC. And like I said, if we like it, we'll go ahead and have it on a future episode. And we'll give you a shout out, not only on the podcast, but also on our social media platforms as well. So there is that. So that is the debate topic. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And then we're going to go to some game recaps and some more good stuff.
Bro, where did you get that sick jersey?
What, this thing? I got it at Fanatics.
Fanatics?
Yeah, Fanatics. It is a one-stop shop of all things sports. They sell jerseys, hats, shirts, jackets, and much more. You can go to our bio on Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC. You'll see our link tree to Fanatics. When you go shop on that link, you will not only be getting some fresh gear, but you'll also be supporting InsertNameFC and the Unhinged Sports Network.
I'm going to go start shopping now.
And we are back. Once again, take advantage of that great partner that we have. Because not only does that help us, InsertNameFC, but it also helps the Unhinged Sports Network that we are a part of and that we love being a part of.
Yep.
All right.
It's our second. Go.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, Edward, it is time for game recaps. What is your game to recap, Edward?
All right. Well, my game to recap is... All right. Now, a lot of Chelsea fans are going to hate me for this one, but West Brom versus Chelsea. that's going to be my game recap for this week. Really took everyone by surprise. West Brom beat Chelsea 5-2. Not just like a small amount. It's 5-2. That's very perplexing. Like, that's something you would expect that Chelsea would beat West Brom at, you know? So, yeah. Did that throw you off when that shit happened?
I found it comical. I mean, obviously, like, it's Chelsea, the London rival, the cross city rival for Arsenal. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, true. But I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you don't expect a team like Chelsea to lose against West Brom in that fashion. Of course, they did. And I mean, it's happened before where small teams beat David beats Goliath. You know, it happens. Chelsea had 66% of the possession, so it wasn't fairly even. Chelsea had more of the possession. They also outshot West Brom to 18-14, so the shooting was more, you know, kind of even. You know, just 4 shots. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal actually. Now that I think about it, because that means that West Brom was right on their ass. So, and then basically there was 3 goals in stoppage time. So that explains a lot. In the 47th minute, and the 49th minute, and the 91st minute of the game. So basically those stoppage time goals counted for something. Like they just added a little bit more salt to the wound. Have you?
Was basically what it's saying is that Chelsea kind of used up.
They were thinking like, okay, the ref's about to blow the whistle. He's about to blow the whistle. He's about to blow the whistle. And all of a sudden, nope, he wouldn't blow it. Like, what the hell just happened? So, you know, it's kind of like how when you're playing a match and you're winning by one goal, you're waiting for the ref to just blow the whistle. And by you waiting for that whistle to blow, you're looking at the ref, you're missing everything that's going on around you. Maybe that's just how it happened. Yeah. Christian Pulisic started that game, so,
and then got out in the second half for a hamstring.
Yeah. Oh man, this kid and his hamstrings, bro. Swear.
It sucks, man. Because you know, obviously, everyone's excited about Christian Pulisic. We've been excited about Christian Pulisic for years now.
And yeah, for a long time.
It's definitely not like the fact that he's going through so many injuries is probably gonna. It's gonna be difficult to see him play. I don't know what to say about that, but it's just frustrating as an American, as a USA fan, to see Pulisic hurt yet again, because obviously he's not playing. So, yeah.
So, I mean, on that one, it kind of puts it into perspective as well, and also, it's the first loss for Tuchel since he took over Chelsea, which is surprising to me because I consider this guy a world-class manager.
So, I mean, I will say this. The fact that Tuchel got his first loss, it could be relieving in some way. Because, I mean, obviously, had they continued, I mean, obviously, you don't want to lose the list, but in some way, now people can't constantly be asking you about, oh, is it going to continue? Is the streak going to continue? Is the undefeated streak going to continue? Is Tuchel going to continue? Can they continue this run? Like, now you can, it's like, okay, we lost. We felt defeat. We can move on from this and now focus, instead of thinking about the streak, the undefeated run, you can now focus just playing the game and just play the game how you're supposed to play it. But I mean, also the fact, you can probably factor in that Chelsea does have a Champions League matchup coming up. That's the reason why they maybe were not focused on West Brom, because obviously it's West Brom. But that could be the reason. But I think, yes, one, you don't want to lose to West Brom. But two, I think this is kind of just relieving. In some sense, it's relieving because it's like now there's no pressure. There's no, oh, we got to keep the streak alive. Like now it's just like, let's just go out there.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from with that one. because it kind of makes them feel like, makes them take that deep ass breath, like you're holding it, you're holding it, you're holding it, and finally you're like, whoa. You're like, okay. Okay, so now, you know, it basically proves that, okay, this guy is, he's beatable, and he can be beat. You know, let's, I'm pretty sure the fans are like, hopefully it's not like this again against a small team in it by a pretty decent sized margin. But it, like you said, it just, you don't have to deal with the questions no more about, oh, is it going to continue? Is it undefeated? No, like, dude, like, we're all going to lose, like, no matter what. Even, for example, even if PSG manages to get the super team, pretty sure there's a loss there somewhere. All right. So it just goes to show you, like, you know, it can't even happen to a team like Chelsea. Like, yes, they're struggling. Timo Werner hasn't found it. Kai Havertz hasn't found it yet. Like, their rhythm. But, you know, there's still time to work on it. So they may, maybe this loss is what's going to kind of make them start on something new, make them build on something new, something that they've known for a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see. But that's my game to recap, bro. The West Brom versus Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And then, excuse me, I just burped. What is your game to recap, sir?
So my game to recap is Lille beating PSG once and nothing. So obviously this is a battle of first versus second. So this is a big game. Obviously this is a big 6-point turnaround, if you will, because obviously game the winning team collects 3 points and then also separates themselves 3 points from the opposing team. So it's a 6-point exchange, if you will, with this. And with that being said, man, PSG had 65% of the possession of this match. PSG also outshot Lille 16-3. Also, shots on target in this match was 3-3. So, Lille was 100% on their shots, whereas PSG was just not this. The only goal that was scored was from the young Canadian himself, Jonathan David, who was scored a goal in the 20th minute mark. But this is all gets overshadowed by the final minutes of the game when you have red cards thrown to Neymar and Diallo in the 90th minute mark. So the situation was, so Neymar is pursuing the ball, slips by himself,
slips by himself.
I had to point that out. Just point it out. There was no contact. He literally just like tripped, lost the ball. The ball rolled. So then Diallo does what everybody tries to do in the final minutes: block the ball before, so Neymar couldn't get the ball and let it go out of bounds. And Neymar was not happy. He pushes Diallo to the ground. Which I don't know why he did that. Because, I mean, it's not like...
Why?
Like, he didn't have to do that. Like, the ball was going to go out of bounds anyways. Like, there was nothing stopping that. It was going to be Lil's ball anyways.
But exactly.
He pushes the player out. He pushes Diallo to the ground. Diallo starts saying that he's in pain. You know, obviously the referee gives Neymar the yellow card, which was his second yellow card, which became a red card. So he was out of the game. And then Diallo, there was some theatrics. I'll say that for Diallo. And the referee saw it. So then the referee was asking Diallo to get up. He was like, you know, still lingering, saying like, oh, the pain. Finally gets up, gets the second yellow, which ended up turning into a red card as well. And then all of a sudden he seemed perfectly fine as he's yelling at the referee.
I bet he's all excited.
And to throw irony in there, Neymar is the guy that's calming him down.
Wow.
So as the Diallo's like, you know, trying to walk off, like is walking out of the field, still yelling at the referee, Neymar is just like, come on, bro, let's just go. We're both ejected.
Well, the thing is, okay.
Just Neymar, the fact that Neymar was the voice of reason.
Yeah, it just goes to show you that he's growing as a person. You know, shit, he's trying to show his leadership.
That's a Messi's watching the TV, watching this game. It was just, that's my boy. I mean, the initial, before all that, he was terrible. There you go. He grew up there. I taught him that. Messi and Suarez taught him that.
Yeah, but I mean, but okay. So the thing is, though, with that Neymar, I guess you could call it a flop, but that Neymar flop, there's two things.
Well, Neymar didn't flop.
Oh.
He tripped. He tried to get up to get the ball. Like I said, Dejala was shielding the ball from Neymar. Neymar got frustrated, pushes him off. Like, literally pushes him out of, like, just pushes him off after he was trying to get the ball ready for throw-in. And Dejala was the one that flopped.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So, Neymar got the red, got the second yellow for pushing the player. Got the second yellow for flopping.
I think what it was is he was trying to waste time by doing all those theatrics and stuff. And so that's why also I want to say it was two reasons why Neymar wanted to get the dude up was, for one, you know, he wanted to be like, okay, dude, like, you got to go so we can at least try to tie this game up. And then two, you know, he was like, all right, dude, come on. We're grown ass men. We don't have to be doing all this shit. Let's just go. It's already, I think when Neymar got ejected, he was already like kind of already disillusioned of him. Like, well, damn, like, there's no way I can help the team. So he was already kind of cooled down in the moment. So when the other dude was all pissed off and shit, he was like, all right, come on. He's like, just come on. Like, I'm cooled down. We gotta go. Come on, let's go. So I think that's what it was. Like, he was our cool, calm, and collected at the moment because he realized it's this late. I'm getting ejected. Now it's up to my team. I gotta leave it up for them.
No, yeah, totally, I agree. But yeah, so those are the games to recap. Edward, players of the week. Who is your player of the week?
My player of the week, sir, is...
What the fuck was that?
Hector's going to hate me for this one. My player of the what? This? My 1920s, 1940s box radio voice. The player of the week is... My player of the week is Diogo Jota, who scores two goals coming off the bench in the Liverpool's win against Arsenal 3-0. And Kelsey, I'm sure, little shout out to Kelsey here, was excited about that. So, and also a little shove to my friend Hector here.
Look, so, man, yeah. I knew Arsenal wasn't going to beat Liverpool. So don't be saying like as if I thought that Arsenal had a shot. So,
well,
but I was not. Yeah,
you did. You did think they had a shot. That's why you kept saying "fuck this, fuck that, fuck."
I was trying to keep the streak alive at work. It worked on Tottenham, but apparently
it worked.
Apparently, that's Jose.
If anything, it well, there you go. That is. It won't work on Liverpool because it's not Jose Mourinho. It worked on Tottenham because it's Jose Mourinho. So, but yeah, dude, like, so Diogo Jota, he's a hell of a player, man. So I can't diss on him or nothing. He's a hell of a player, man. He's good. He's good. So I made him my player of the week.
That boy good.
Like, really, he is. So, but yeah, who's your player of the week?
My player of the week is Marcus Thuram, who scores two goals in Borussia Mönchengladbach's 2-1 win against Freiburg.
So he scored the two goals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Oh, I'm gonna have to check this dude out. Like, what is he? Like a young buck or what?
I don't know about young. That he's not old, but I mean, he's in his 20s.
Okay.
But, no, I mean, yeah, he's just a very young player. French player as well. God, France is just so stacked. So many French players. So many of them. But yeah, no, he scores two goals in Borussia Mönchengladbach's 2-1 win against Freiburg. So yeah, congratulations to Diogo Jota and Marcus Thuram for being our players of the week. And for the first time, Edward did not call Robert
early close. That's pretty shocking. Hey. I mean, Lewandowski's hurt, so I can't do that. Haaland hasn't been performing right now. He's taking like a calm chill. Maybe he'll be my player of the week after these Champions League games happen. we'll wait and see what's going on. But yeah, so it's gonna be fun to see who's our player of the week for next week, because there's more than just the league games coming on. So, oh, I'm excited.
Yep. All right, Edward. But, we got game previews.
Yes, we do. All right. So the first game preview is Manchester United versus Tottenham. Now, ironically, it's the team that Jose Mourinho used to coach versus what he's coaching now.
I like how you call him Jose Mourinho.
I don't give a damn. Anyway, he's like, as you know, I called him what? The great one, and he was the special one. They're just nicknames. If he can make the team look good, then yes, go for it. He will have. But you know me, I didn't like him as a coach. So even when he was Man U, even with Real Madrid, you know when it was like the Pep Mourinho bouts going on, I wasn't too excited for you having him as a coach, because I was like, man, this dude here, he's always talking shit. But so it's sorry. Train of thought. Okay, so it's gonna be interesting to see, like, Ole Gunnar, Jose Mourinho's replacement versus Jose Mourinho, when we always make fun of Ole Gunnar for good reasons, though. Like, I think for good reasons, because it's always like kind of like laughing with him, not at him. Because he's always, even if we're doing something like very comical and stuff about him, he's doing it to where he's winning, where he's in mid-table or even up in the table. But he's doing something right. Whereas Mourinho, we're always like, okay, we're always kind of, we do give him some props whenever everything goes good. But then when he goes bad, he doesn't give us that feel of like, okay, he's taking it onto himself to do this and that, like to take the blame. So he ends up blaming somebody else. So of course we can't really give props for that. But it's going to be interesting to see Manchester United versus Tottenham. The players, both teams have high caliber players. Both teams have hella good players. The last meeting, Tottenham won 6-1. So is this the revenge game for Manchester United over Tottenham? I mean, don't know yet. What do you think on that? Do you think Manchester United can actually beat Tottenham now?
All right, I'm going to have to say no. And the reason why I say that, and the only reason why I say this is because, unlike Tottenham, Manchester United still has Europa League to focus on. So, I mean, obviously, I think now they're definitely a lot closer. You know, they're in the quarterfinals in the Europa League. Which we all thought Tottenham would be there, but obviously Dinamo Zagreb had different ideas on that one.
Yep.
So, I mean, one team can literally just focus on this game and know that they are off till the next weekend, whereas Man U is like, we got to figure out what we're going to do, like who we're playing, who's playing who, and then who's playing on Thursday. And then we have another game on the weekend as well. So, it's going to, I mean, granted, maybe a little bit, maybe they can still push a little bit harder because of the fact that they don't have a game till Thursday. But that doesn't change the fact that, that's a big factor into it. That they're still in their tournament. Because of that, I think Tottenham can come out with a win. It's not going to be a massive victory like that, but I think Tottenham gets a double.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I respect that. Manchester United have won 3 of their last 5 games, and they've scored 56 goals and allowed 32, while Tottenham have scored 49 goals and allowed 30. So, I was going to ask you who you got, but you already explained to me, Tottenham. You know, you have that one up there. I, on the other hand, seeing as how Tottenham's kind of going on a slope here, on a downward slope, I'll give it to Man U. Yeah, it's I'm not saying Man U is a better team. It's just I have a feeling that they're probably going to do some crazy old Gunner scheme. Yes, exactly. An old Gunner scheme is going to happen. He might end up putting Pogba in the second half, and Pogba scores a hat trick, and we'll be like, "The hell just happened!" Like everybody's going to be like, "The hell just happened, bro?" Right. So Bruno Fernandes, he's going to fucking show up, I'm sure. It's pretty crazy. You know who I haven't heard of? Edison Cavani. Like, just totally random.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, I just got to thinking. Probably going to do some research on him to see where he's at.
All right.
sorry. But, yeah. So, I got Manchester United. And you have Tottenham. So, we will see. We will see after this game happens. We'll see who wins.
You sure will.
You can rub it in, you can rub it in my face if you decide to.
I mean, we're kind of rubbing it in your face as after your take on Chelsea on Hinge FC. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True. So, all right. Well, let's see. All right, what's the next game, bro?
All right, so I'm taking over this game because Edward knows nothing about the NWSL. But
I apologize.
That is correct, guys. The NWSL kicks off this weekend, and it starts off with a banger, in my opinion. And that is the game between Houston Dash, our very own Houston Dash. I don't know if Edward's a Houston Dash fan or not yet, but I am a Houston Dash fan. As they take on the Chicago Red Stars. This kicks off the NWSL season. I'm super excited about it because the Houston Dash was amazing, especially after last year. 2020 was the Dash's year. They did win the Challenge Cup and were very close to winning the Fall Series. So they were very close to... They were very well in the competition last year. This is a rematch of the Challenge Cup final where the Houston Dash won 2-0 against the Chicago Red Stars. Fun fact, the Chicago Red Stars also have a former Dash player in Kalia Ohai Watts. That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Mrs. Watt, JJ Watt's wife, plays for the Chicago Red Stars, was actually the first ever draft pick for the Houston Dash. And the Dash ended up beating them in the Challenge Cup final. And I got to say, I'm super excited for the Houston Dash this year. They came out with their Space City jerseys. I like it. But they were also kind of hyping themselves against Orlando Pride. Orlando Pride's jersey, by the way, is beautiful. I was very envious of it. If I wasn't for the fact that I am a Dash fan, I would have tried to cop one of those jerseys. But because it's beautiful, Edward. I'm telling you, man. That because obviously, you know, Florida, Houston, they're both considered spaces. Those are both locations.
Yeah. NASA.
But Dash dropped their Space City jerseys on Monday. I like them. But you hyped them up with Orlando's jersey. I'm sorry. Orlando won that one.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dash fans. But oh my God, Orlando's jersey is just so beautiful, man. What is it with everybody not in Houston that just happens to have a better? Dash has a good jersey, though. I'm not saying that they don't. But I'm just like, damn. God dang. Anyways. But yeah, the beautiful jerseys. But anyways, going back to this Houston Dash Chicago Red Stars game. I think it's going to be a really exciting game. I think it's going to, obviously, you have the drama from the Challenge Cup final. You're going to kick off the NWSL season. The NWSL didn't necessarily have a traditional season last year because of COVID and all that. They did have the Challenge Cup, which was actually like the first thing to come in starting this whole cup. The first actual like professional league that started from the whole COVID pandemic. Had a smooth tournament. Obviously, they had no COVID issues. The players were very well at following the restrictions of like the NBA. Cough, cough. but, you know, obviously had a good tournament and then had the Fall Series once again ran smoothly. So I'm really excited to see what the NWSL has in order. Really want to go to this game, but unfortunately I have to work. But if I didn't, I would have definitely have gone to this Dash game because it's good. I think it's good. The Dash environment, yeah, there's not a lot of fans as most leagues are. But I think it's so supporting. So I definitely want to go to a Dash game this year. But Who you got, okay, Edward? I think I've said so much about the Houston Dash, Chicago Red Stars. They are very good. They know what to do, especially in the playoffs. They're a very well seasoned team. You can't count them out. But Houston Dash, to me, they're just the stronger side. They're so good together. They made a lot of big moves last year to make this team what they are, to win the Challenge Cup. And mind you, they had a complete haul of players and won a tournament. Something that not many, especially you want chemistry when you have basically a new roster.
Yeah, and a whole new team.
You went into a tournament with a whole new team and won the whole thing. That says something about the coaching for that. So I'm really excited to see what the Dash does this year, especially because they got their star back in Rachel Daly, their captain, who was actually on loan during the fall series with West Ham United. So they got their leader back there. You still have Jane Campbell, who's a U.S. Women's National Team goalkeeper, even though she's a backup, but she's still in the U.S. Women's National Team. And you have the revival of Christy Lewis, who has been killing it with these U.S. Women's National Team call-ups as well. So it's going to be really fun to see them. And also, don't sleep on Shane Groom as well. She is a really good midfielder. So I'm just excited about the Dash. I'm going to be biased. I'm going to say a Dash got this.
Yep. All right, so I may have to go with you on that one. I'll stick with Dash because it's Houston.
There we go. Hey, H-Town.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
All right, Edward.
All right, so the third game is going to be one we all know and love. Causes friendships to break. Brotherly love to die. And it is El Clásico, El Real Madrid versus Barcelona. So that one's going to be a hell of a match. It's going to be crazy. For sure, me and Hector will probably be telling each other shit. The last meeting, Real Madrid won 3-1. But Barcelona have scored 67 goals and allowed 24. And Real Madrid have scored 51 goals and allowed 23. So it's kind of fairly even, I guess. I guess Barcelona has more goals for them. In a goal for, goal against ratio. And yes. If anybody is wondering, yes, there is a singing bet on the line. So we're putting it out there right now. So I'm hoping Barcelona can actually win this one, not lose it like last time. Because I'm already have to sing. I don't want us to have to sing again. And then there's going to be twice singing.
And then, mind you, Edward still have won it.
Yeah, I have not chosen a song at all.
Well, you
I
think chose no. A song. You chosen a song.
I chose a song, but it was when Hector and Spencer ended up tying it up. Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, they ended up tying it up. So that was it. I think that was the only time I got to choose anything, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see what happens on this one. But, all right, Hector, I'm going to have to ask you, and I don't really have to ask you that much, but who you got?
I mean, is it obvious? I got Real Madrid, man. I think this is going to be a good game, a good test. Obviously, there is no Sergio Ramos. The big factor is obviously Barcelona can actually focus on this match because they really have nothing else going on for them, whereas Real Madrid has to deal with them. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. What exactly do we see from Real Madrid? And this is going to be a very exhausted Real Madrid, unfortunately, but that's what's going to be. You're probably going to see Rafael Varane and Nacho in the midfield. At the center back. I'm wondering, and this is only me wondering, but are we going to see that three-back formation again? Because I think that this probably be that game where they do it again. They have move Lucas Vazquez up front, up on the wing. And same thing also, maybe using Ferland Mendy or maybe Marcelo for that El Clásico. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Real Madrid does. Barcelona looks completely different. They got the groove back in some way. But obviously, this is going to be, it's a classical. I think it's always going to be very close to tense. But I just think that obviously you got to factor in the Real Madrid are still the champions.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm like, it's hard. I'm still waiting for Grizzy to find his groove, man. I've been waiting for a while now. So I just, I'm hoping. There's a lot of hope. So, yeah, I just, I'll be honest. It's hard to choose, honestly, right now at this moment. But I'm going to be backing Barcelona up on this one. I think the game's going
to
be...
You kind of have to.
Yeah, I do. But I think Barcelona will win 2-1. Like, there's going to be a goal that happens that just kind of changes everything.
And of course, just like in most of these cases, in the singing bet, in the event of a draw, Spencer chooses what me and Edward have.
Oh, God. He's going to have a fun day with that one if that happens.
Yep. But anyway, so those are the game previews. And we still have one more thing to preview, and that is the start of the Major League Soccer season. Next week kicks off the MLS season. We're going to go ahead and preview it this week just so we can get it taken care of. All right, Edward. So obviously you're not an MLS guy, but I'll still love to hear what you think. And don't worry, I'll share my thoughts first before you have to say anything, so that you can piggyback off of what I'm saying. But
right.
The 2021 MLS season, I'm really excited about it. Obviously, you had finally an original member of the MLS win the MLS Cup, which was the Columbus Crew. That's going to be definitely someone to follow, but we'll get going. We'll get to that a little bit later. We got to talk about the first big storyline to follow, and that is Austin FC. This is the first season for Austin FC. And you know, obviously you have sporting director Claudio Reyna. You have one of the members of the ownership group for Austin FC is Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
So for me, Edward, what are you expecting from Austin FC?
Man, honestly, I'm expecting a lot of the MLS teams that just come up. For them to happen, to have like a successful season. Like, I mean, you remember when Dynamo first came out, they won like the first two championships back to back, right? With Dwayne De Rosario, when they first came out of, when I guess you could say San Jose, they transferred the team over to Houston. Same thing happened with, Atlanta FC, right? I'm not mistaken. So I'm kind of expecting that to happen, like for Austin FC to just take over as soon as they get in. And then once
the guy that they have leading this team is Josh Wolf, is a guy that has played with the U.S. men's national team, played in the MLS. So someone that's very knowledgeable in the league. I think when you go look for managers, you have to make sure you have guys that are either willing to understand Major League Soccer or understand soccer. Obviously, Tata Martino showed you what happens when you actually try to understand the league, and make it work for you. But I think when you have an ownership group that is ready to compete, and with Matthew McConaughey, who was actually a Chelsea fan as well, just flat out just let the man leave the press conference. Let him have press conference. I don't. But anyways, I'm really excited about Austin FC. But we have been seeing a trend that some of these new clubs don't necessarily have the most exciting starts of their season. Obviously, we saw what happened with Inter Miami. We saw with Nashville SC. We saw kind of similar with Minnesota United, not necessarily living up to what we thought they were going to be as well. FC Cincinnati, that's a interesting, that also didn't pan out that well at the beginning. We have seen teams that just, as soon as they come to this league, they just go in and ride into work. Obviously, like we mentioned, Dynamo, Seattle Sounders, Portland Timbers, those are teams that you can think of that have LAFC. And Atlanta United. So those are some teams that you can see. So what are we going to see for Austin FC? Are we going to see the success of Atlanta United? Or are we going to see the struggles like in FC Cincinnati? I'm just excited. I mean, they have some pretty good players. Diego Fagundes is a player that I'm going to highlight from them just because he is a really good player, really good with his feet. So I can't wait to see what Austin FC brings in. They did play a friendly against the Houston Dynamo, which Dynamo won 3-2. But obviously that's a friendly. We'll see what it is once they play their first real game. But I'm really excited to see from Austin FC.
Of course, same here.
So I'm going to list you some teams that did not make the MLS Cup playoffs this last year. And that is Chicago Fire, Atlanta United, DC United, FC Cincinnati, Vancouver Whitecaps, the LA Galaxy, Real Salt Lake, and the Houston Dynamo. From those teams that I have listed to you, who do you think has a good shot at making the playoffs this year?
Well, damn. Give me an easy one, coach.
Okay, I'll start first on this. So for me, the team that I'm going to go ahead and say that will make the playoffs this year is, of course, Atlanta United, led by Gabriel Heinze, someone that we mentioned before.
Argentine.
In Argentine, he has a very good group of players that he already has to begin with, and I'm sure they're looking to get even stronger. One thing we know for sure about Atlanta United is they have no problem spending the money. And that's what I'm thinking of seeing from Atlanta United. I think this is going to be a rejuvenated team. I'm not going to say Gabriel Heinze is the same level as Tata Martino, but I think gives you that vibe of Tata Martino. So I think Atlanta United is definitely going to get back into the playoff discussion. I feel like I just robbed you one, but just try one out.
All right. I guess LA Galaxy.
Okay.
LA Galaxy. I mean, they've been pretty strong, and even though Zlatan left and everything, but they've been doing pretty good.
They do have Chicharito. Obviously, he wants to redeem himself after having a horrendous start to his MLS career. So I'm sure he has his eyes set on redeeming himself. But LA Galaxy does have a really good team. Obviously, they have Sebastian Legette. And obviously with a new manager now leading this team, there could be some question marks, but I think those question marks will be answered this year. I think LA Galaxy is going to definitely have a good bounce back into the season. And plus, they have some great jerseys. Oh my God. I hate that. I love it. They brought a throwback to the old school LA Galaxy look.
Oh, really? So the one that Kobe Jones would wear?
Yeah. Their new jersey. I love it. Once again, if I wasn't committed to the Houston Dynamo like I am, I would have bought that jersey along with a lot of other jerseys. Seattle Sounders. Oh my God, I love the jersey. But anyways,
why don't you just put Kobe Joe's name on it and just say it's a remastered edition, just like how you're doing video games.
I don't know, man. My Houston Dynamo fan in me, just like, I can't do it. Anyways,
all right,
Edward. So for you, who's your team to watch?
A team to watch, I guess I want to say, out of those teams?
No, just all the MLS teams.
How about that? You know what? I'll keep my eye out on Austin FC.
Okay. All right. For me, the team that I'm going to be watching is the Seattle Sounders. Obviously, they were, all the discussion of them being a dynasty was the talk of the town. They have been making it MLS final over and over again. So obviously, you want to see the term dynasty should be well given to them. They fell short because they lost to Columbus Crew. But I think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Seattle, just because obviously they're not going to have Jordan Morris due to his injury. And they did lose a few players, but let's see what Seattle Sounders is going to do, because I feel like they always find a way. And I think that they're going to continue their consistency even with losing some players.
Yeah.
All right, Edward. Do you have a player to watch?
Well, you did mention Diego Fagundes, and if you recall, I actually would get him a lot on FIFA whenever I was playing with the second tier English team. I would always end up getting him from New England. So yeah, that would be my player to watch right now.
Okay. My player to watch is going to be from Atlanta United, and that is Joseph Martinez. Obviously, did not play last year he was still recovering from his injury. So I'm really excited to see what Joseph Martinez does this year. He loves the MLS. He loves Atlanta. I don't think he's going to leave, even though every time I play FIFA, he always gets transferred out of Atlanta.
He gets transferred to like a English team or something.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see what Justin Martinez does. He is nasty up top. He always scores goals. It is such a fun player to watch, and I can't wait to see him come back. And hopefully he's back at 100% because Atlanta United is definitely going to need him.
Yeah.
All right, Edward, who is your favorite to win the MLS Cup?
Woo! Seattle. I had to think about it for a bit because I'll be honest, I want Dynamo to win, but I kind of have to be.
Let's be a little bit real on that one.
That's what I was saying. I was like, I kind of have to, you know, I have to be realistic about that.
All right, for me, my favorite to win the MLS Cup. I don't know why, but I think it's because I like what they did in the offseason, and that was they got stronger, and they're already stronger than this. I'm going with the Columbus Crew. I think the Columbus Crew has a strong, strong chance at repeating the MLS Cup. They got deeper. They signed some more players. They still have that team that they have. So it's going to be really fun to watch the Columbus Crew this year. I think Columbus Crew is my favorite to win the MLS Cup.
All right, so you're saying a repeat, basically.
Yep, repeat. All right, so that is our preview for the MLS season. We're going to go ahead and have one more ad read, and then we'll go ahead and go into our 3-up, 3-down, which I think is going to be a very interesting topic. So go ahead and check out that ad.
Hector, what was your New Year's resolution?
Same one as every year, read more.
Why every year?
Well, with school and work, it's simply hard to find time to read.
What if instead of reading, you listen to someone read your books for you on Audible?
Audible?
Audible has a large library of audiobooks that you can listen to at your convenience. I like listening to my audiobooks on my way to work.
What if I don't like Audible?
You can start a 30-day free trial when you go to www.audibletrial.com/insertnamefcpodcast. You'll be supporting the Insert Name FC podcast along with finally getting that New Year's resolution done.
Thanks. Now I'm going to start a 30-day free trial.
And we are back. Edward, it is time for 3-up, 3-down.
All right. And it seems like it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, today's topic is guilty pleasures. So essentially, our 3-down is the ones that I guess we're more embarrassed to admit. And the 3-up is obviously the ones that we have no problem sharing. So this is going to be fun.
It's gonna be interesting. Let's put it that way. We might find out things about ourselves. We're best friends, but we might find out things about ourselves that we may not have known.
Yeah. All right. So you want me to go first, or you want to go first?
You can go first.
All right. So at number 3, I have the Masked Singer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's not something I was expecting.
I find the show entertaining. I don't tell people very often that I actually watch The Masked Singer, but it's very entertaining. I love seeing who goes on the show. I do get excited when I actually can guess the celebrity. recently they had Danny Trejo in he was one of the contestants.
He
was a raccoon.
But how does he sing? That's my question.
Horribly.
Oh God, I bet. He sang
Wild Thing, and he sang Ring of Fire. So I was like, man, who could that be? And then as soon as he started singing Ring of Fire, I was like, oh, that's Aang. And they give you, you know, in the show, they give you clues, like, you know, who could be it. Like, give you some clues about them. And so, like, as soon as he mentioned that he was a former boxer and that he's, you know, one day someone's like, hey, you know, I think he was there to be, like, a stunt double. They, hey, can you do this scene for us? And then after that, he was in a bunch of movies after that. Danny Trejo, I was like, oh, that's Danny Trejo. And so, like, when it turned out to be Danny Trejo, I was, like, super hyped for that kind of record.
Wow, I would not expect that. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, so I had the best thing. Once again, not this is like be proud of saying this, but yeah, I do like the best
thing. All right. No, I mean, shit. I mean, it's pretty cool. All
right. Number two is 13 Reasons Why. Basically, the stupid Netflix shows. This is basically what I'm saying. And like 13 Reasons Why, that show You. But specifically 13 Reasons Why, just because I feel like it's a very good example as the kind of shows that I end up finding myself watching. And I do think the show is stupid. I mean, okay, I'm not going to say as if it was stupid because I do like the message that it tried to send. You know, speak on these issues of, preventing suicide and all that. But the show's extra, is what I'm trying to say. And
damn.
I'm like, I guess because I watched the first season, because I was like, okay, what's this show all about? I kind of found myself like, okay, well, I got to watch the second season because I need to see where this goes. And then the third season, is the final season, at least I hope it is. And I was like, well, at this point, I'm emotionally invested as to what happens with these kids. So I watched So I watched it and I was just like, is it good? It can be, but I criticized it the whole time as I was watching it, but I did find it entertaining nonetheless. So yeah, 13 Reasons Why. Basically, shows just like that that you see on Netflix, there's a good chance that I'm probably watching.
Yeah.
And then number one, so if you don't watch Univision, you probably don't know this, but there's a show called Enamorados.
Which one is that one?
It comes out late on Univision. Univision for those non-Spanish speakers. So the show is called Enamoramos, and
Enamoramos, like do we make people fall in love
we make people fall in love. There's a translation to make people fall in love. And so basically what the show is that they bring in people that are looking or that basically when Tinder and Bumble fails you go to this. So basically people come in that are single, that are looking to date someone. They go on the show, and essentially they're on the show and then they give you a number, like either a phone number or they give you the WhatsApp, because in Spanish culture, everybody uses WhatsApp. So they give you this number to like call if you're interested in a person that they feature on the show. And then they bring you in for a future episode where you meet the person and you talk. And then once you introduce yourselves and you get to know each other a little bit, the person that you requested to speak has the chance to either say that they would like to go on a date with you or that they don't want to. And that this isn't it. And so then after that, like the host of the show will give you the option if you want to stay and be part of the show by if someone calls and asks for you, then your name get featured on another episode, or you can just leave. And I'm like it's something that I do with my family. Like I watch it with my mom, I watch it with Jorge, I watch it with my nieces, I watch it with my sister. Like we all watch it, and it's not so much to see like who falls in love. Because honestly, if you're looking to find love through this show, you're probably not going to find it. It's so much so because as soon as the person walks in, the person that like called to like want to talk to this person that they're interested in, you I like guessing whether or not they're going to say yes or no.
Oh man!
I've watched that show so much now that I actually kind of have an idea of what these people are looking for now.
Right.
Like, there's this one guy. His name's Lester. He's like a 40-year-old dude. One probably should not be on the show. he's super picky. Like, super, super picky. But, most of the girls he says no. But anyway, so I remember, there was this one girl comes in, and she was tall. And I mean, like, this guy he's not tall. I mean, he's probably like, average height at best. And this girl, she was interested in him and she was tall. Like, I mean, she could probably be in the WWE. And I was like, okay, this is going to be a hard no. But literally, I'm judging people in this show. And that just, I'm not proud of it because obviously I'm nowhere to be judging this. But it's very entertaining for me. And it's cool that I do this with my family. So I'm not proud to say that I actually watched this show, but yeah, I watched that show.
All right. Well, so wow.
To reiterate my bottom three, it is The Masked Singer. Show similar to 13 Reasons Why. 13 Reasons Why. And Inamoramos. We make people fall in love.
Yeah, there you go. We Make People Fall in Love is the name of the show. That's what he's trying to say.
Yep. I guess essentially okay. It's like the English, the American version of Love.
Well, do you remember there used to be this TV show on MTV, Blind Date? I think that's what it was called.
Oh, Blind Date. Yeah, but you didn't have like a person like, hey, this is so-and-so. Go on a date with them.
Oh,
like,
really?
That's because that's how the show works. Like they bring in like the single people, and then you call and like, you know, like you call them like, hey, I'm interested to get to know this person. And then they bring you into the show so you can get to know the person. And then the person can either humiliate you on TV by saying no, or they say yes and you go on a date.
Right. Okay. 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 All right. So these are your three downs, right?
Yep.
So to reiterate, three downs.
I will not be proud of it to say that I watched
this show. Right. Okay. 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 All right. So to reiterate, your number three was what again?
I already said, okay. Okay. The Masked Singer, Singer? 13 Reasons Why,
right?
And
Enamoramos. All right, okay, all right. So here it goes with me embarrassing myself. So my number three, and it's a chick show, hence the title of it. My guilty pleasure show, and I started watching it just for one reason and one reason only, is because I was head over heels in love with this the protagonist, the main protagonist, which was the mom and the daughter, Gilmore Girls.
Oh wow! Yeah. Wow!
Yeah. So I started watching just because of that. Because I was like, damn! I was like, this girl has such deep blue eyes. I was so in love. I mean, you know me and the colored eyes, bro. I'm all that. And then, but then I started getting into the story, how she was like really, really smart, and she was like like I guess you could say like a single mom and didn't care for her kid, stuff like that, and they all fall in love, kind of shit. It was like literally, it was a freaking it was a soap opera basically. And then, as much as they didn't want to make it seem like that, but it just rolled off like that. That's like a I guess you could say it's like a rom-com drama kind of show, but I liked it and it was pretty good. So you know, there's a spinoff, I guess, or like there's like what happened after all these years on Netflix or Hulu. I think, I don't know. I have not watched it. I honestly don't plan on it because I don't even want to know what happened to it. I just know it ended. Okay. It was good.
Okay.
But yeah, that's my guilty pleasure. I would, if I were to watch it again, I probably would be like, okay, maybe I'll check it out. But I haven't watched it recently. So that's my number three guilty pleasure, Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
You're my best friend. I have never once seen you watch Gilmore Girls, so clearly you hit this very well.
Right. Bro, it would come on CW and shit.
Yeah,
that's
the thing that's funny, is that it's on the CW. Back when everything was like on public channels.
Yeah. Now it's like you can't find it nowhere, because I think it's on Netflix or Hulu, I think. I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
But okay, so my number two. Alright, so my number two is... This is a guilty pleasure of mine. Maybe I'll be judged by this. I don't know. Maybe I'll be known as a pervy sage, kind of like the Naruto guy. You may know this, Hector, but I do like playing those anime games. The ones that are pretty, I guess they're rated M or maybe rated T. tea. Like they're, but they show like those anime chicks and like, oh my God, my clothes fell off and shit like that. Like, I'm like, I find those pretty funny.
Like they're
hilarious. No, the clothes don't fall off on Dead or Alive. That's a fighting game. I don't consider that one of those games. Or let's put it this way, the anime.
That was a selling point for those games.
It was. I mean, but honestly, the fighting styles in Dead or Alive are actually pretty badass. It's kind of like Tekken.
I've never heard of these games ever.
For example, there's one game. It's a puzzle game, but it's like a. It's not an RPG either. It's a puzzle game, but it has a story to it. The story is the game's called Catherine. You're a guy. Your name's Vincent, and you're going out with this girl whose name is Catherine, but it's with a K. And then you meet this other girl whose name is Catherine with the C. You end up sleeping with this new chick, and basically the game you're playing in the puzzle games is you in your dreams. So then you kind of do stuff in your dreams and you play the game while you're in the bar as well, and you do certain situations that basically affects what happens in the game. But of course, it involves with you being like not pervy, but like you sleep with somebody else and then you're trying to hide her from your girlfriend, and it just goes on and on, and it just keeps rolling and rolling in the puzzle game. So that one's pretty, it has like that sensual content. There you go. So kind of stuff like that. Same thing, if you remember.
Sexual video games. Okay.
Sexual video. Basically, raunchy video games. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But yeah, so like that. Like, even Elder Scrolls, bro. Oblivion, Skyrim. Those are very like up there in that thing. Fable, same thing, you know, kind of games like that. Okay. But yeah, this is the first time I'm admitting to it. I feel like I'm in rehab or something. It's like I have a problem. I like to play these really X-rated games, even though they're not X-rated, they're just rated M. But all right, okay, this is my number one guilty pleasure. And it's very well known, actually. You haven't seen me because you never see me during the morning. Something that it has been brought to my attention that they say, yeah, you need to stop this and stuff like that. But drinking the ghost energy drinks or bangs, like that's become part of, or pre-workout, that's become part that's of my day.
Pleasure?
Yeah, I love it, dude. I love it. Like, I love the tastes of different tastes and everything. Usually the pre-workout I take is Total War, and it's Green Apple or Orange Crush. Tiger Blood was nasty.
I guess I never thought about energy drinks as a guilty pleasure.
Oh, bro, trust me. The Ghost ones are amazing. They have the Sour Patch Kids ones and the Warhead ones. Whew, off the chain, bro. Those are badass.
So some people tell me I have an issue with energy drinks, but I only drink one.
Oh, no. Rain has a really good one. Rain has two good ones. The bottles are red and silver, and or not the bottles, but the cans are red and silver, and the other one is silver and blue. I believe those two are the better ones off of those. They do have separate ones. There was one Rain one that I tried. I wasn't too big of a fan. I am on the verge of trying out Rock's new energy drink. The Rock's energy drink, okay. Zoa.
So you're an energy drink connoisseur. You're
telling me. I mean, from when I'm looking at your face on the video right now, you seem like you're doing it. But yeah, to wrap it up, my number three, Gilmore Girls. Number two is sexual video games, as you said. Number one is energy drinks. What? Damn.
It's just funny, though. Gilmore Girls, games with suggested themes, energy drinks. Like, these are the ones you're ashamed to admit.
Yes.
So
even okay. though I'll admit to the energy drink, but other than that, not really that big a deal.
Okay. All right then. All right. Three up. So at number three, Becky G.
We've all known about that one for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's my big key, but I'm free. I do dedicate, like, it's not like I dedicate my life to Becky G, but there's just some days where I'm just like, I just want to jam with you. Okay? I've had a few of those days where I'm just like, you know what? I just want to jam with Becky G. So literally all I listen to the whole day is Becky G. I do love her music. I think she's very talented. She has the voice of an angel. Once again, risk it all for her.
I see that now.
Number three is Becky G. Number two is musicals.
Wow.
I do enjoy musicals. I find them entertaining. Everyone knows that in high school I used to do theater. Never musical theater because I don't have a voice for singing. But I did do theater in high school, and I always kind of admired musical theater, even though I didn't do it. But I always thought it's really entertaining, and I think that it's really impressive. And so I'm not just talking about like the cinematic musicals, but like actual like live performances. Hamilton. That's a banger. If you guys have not watched Hamilton yet, great. That was an amazing musical. I enjoyed it. If it wasn't so damn long, I would probably at least try to watch that every other weekend.
I've seen Mamma Mia.
The actual live musical or the one with Meryl Streep?
No, the musical.
Okay,
In the auditorium, not the auditorium, but that place where they do the plays and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But yeah, so I do love musicals. My favorite musical, it's going to sound corny, but Grease. Grease is actually...
That's, for, us, I, for us, we call it home.
But yeah, so Grease was honestly what got me into musicals. I thought that it was just entertaining. Just an entertaining experience. I just love musicals. So that's my number two is musicals. And then my number one guilty pleasure is peanut butter.
All right. Yeah, that's actually I've known about that one for a while now.
So I love peanut butter. If it has peanut butter in it, there's a good chance that I'm gonna try it. But yeah, peanut butter. Edward seen me. He seen me like just grab some peanut, like grab a peanut butter jar and then just scoop a spoon in there, and I'll eat it just like
yep.
that.
So, yep. Yeah, he does.
I love peanut butter. So yeah. So to reiterate my three up, it is Becky G, musicals, and peanut butter.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. All right. So here's my number one. Here's my three. Okay, so my guilty pleasure number three, video games. Everybody knows it. And the thing, it's funny because there's actually girls who approach me. They'll talk to me and stuff. And they'll ask me what I do in my free time. And I'm like, oh, you know, work, kids. But I do tell them, oh, but I play video games too. And then I think that's the turnoff. So yeah, video games is my thing. That's my number three. My number two, that one is movies and TV shows. Like, okay, let's put it this way. Movies, like Crazy Stupid Love. Those kind of movies. Rom-coms. Like, even though it's a guilty pleasure of mine, people know that anything with the certain actors or actresses, like if they're in certain movies as well, like even Jim Carrey's movies, like they have rom-coms with that. Like Yes Man, you know, that one, Crazy Stupid Love, Date Night with my Steve Carell. Those everybody knows that I love these type of movies, and it's not a big deal. What?
Itch.
Hitch. Oh yeah, Hitch. Yeah, I watched that with Will Smith, and Eva Longoria. Or no, Eva Mendes. Eva, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Disrespect to Eva Longoria.
Oh, God. Anyways. Yeah,
I'm sure some people want to cancel her.
But, so yeah, those type of movies, it's a guilty pleasure of mine, but it's known, you know, so it's not something like, oh, hey, I hide this shit, you know, hell, I'll even do memes out of that. I mean, I don't know how many times I fucking sell picture like showing like Steve Carell, or even hell, I even showed him Ryan Gosling taking off his shirt. I'm like, hey, this is going to be me the next time you see me, which hasn't happened.
I won't happen.
Oh, okay. Fuck you. Anyways. All right. So
the day you have the body of Ryan Gosling is the day I have the body of Ryan Gosling.
Bet on it. Let's do a bet. Let's do it.
I am not gonna want to see your body ever.
No. But ever. I will randomly walk in shirtless and be like, hey Hector, what's up? Let's do the show.
And I will keep my eyes closed. Nope.
You will have to do it.
No, it doesn't help that people in high school thought that.
No, I'm saying you're gonna have to.
They already
thought
our friendship was weird as it was, and then to the point where I had to say we were cousins.
Well, you could have easily said brothers, but no.
Yeah, I don't want to say you're my brother.
Bitch. All right. Number one. This is very well known. Sweets of any kind, bro. Like any chocolate, fucking cinnamon rolls, any pastries, candy bars. Literally my snacks to try to be healthy are those protein bars, but the sweet kinds, not the fucking old granola bar kind shit. Mine are like those, the protein bars that you see that shit. And I'm like, oh man, like it makes me think like, damn it, I'm a fat ass. And sometimes even in my diet, my snacks are honey roasted cashews, trying to be healthy, or cocoa covered almonds, you know, or chocolate covered almonds. So it's like, yeah, sweets. Sweets is my guilty pleasure for everything. Like, it's something that I can eat it every day, every freaking day. So yeah, that is, and it's well known. It's well known. You tell me you're gonna buy me some cupcakes or whatever, bro. I'm ham. I'm down for that. Birthday cake. I'm ham for that.
A unicorn cake.
A what?
A unicorn cake.
Yeah. Hey, I took a bite out of that too. Shit. That's what you got me for my birthday. I fucking took it. I did not give a damn. I was like, hey, it's sweet. It's like it. Fuck it. Whatever. But yeah. So to reiterate, video games, rom-com movies, and chocolate, any sweets, really.
Okay. All right. So Spencer has not sent us anything. So there is that. So that is our 303 down. We want to give a shout out to the Unhinged Sports Network. You can catch us on Fridays at 11 a.m. Central Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time on the Unhinged Sports Network, unhingedsn.com. That's where you can find us. We will be premiering there first before we will be dropped on all major podcast platforms, obviously Spotify, Pandora, iHeart, all that good stuff. So that's where you're going to find us first before you catch us on the other platforms. So shout out to them. And if you guys want to be notified when we are live with them, follow them on Twitter at Network Unhinged. You're going to see us do, well, I mean, we're already active with them, but I'm going to tough myself up, and I'm going to start trying to do some vlogs for them. Because, you know, we need to bring out the world of soccer, and I need to start getting creative. So I'm going to start doing some vlogs. So there's that. Be on the alert for that one.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Alejandra Gomez and her company, ANG Graphics, for the creation of the Insert Name FC logo. If you guys love our logo as much as we love our logo, then you should hit her up on Instagram at a.g.graphics with an X. Once again, that's a.g.graphics with an X. Hit her up, ask her that you want a logo created or a graphic or whatever you need done for you, and she got you, I swear to God.
Yeah. And love you.
But
I haven't done the I love you to Ale in a while, so love you.
Okay. And shout out to the man, the myth, the Roosevelt Spencer.
The producer
for this podcast. Obviously, you hear the beats. You hear our intro. You hear our outro. You heard his rendition of Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. You know he's the truth. What are you doing? Go ahead and collaborate with our guy, Spencer. You can follow him on Instagram at thatguydope. Once again, it's at thatguydope. So go ahead and hit him up so you guys can get on with this beat game that we are doing. Because you guys are slipping because we're ahead of you right now.
Yep.
But yeah, man, so that is the show.
No, I was like, yep.
All right, man, so that's the show. It's episode 31. That is correct. We have officially reached Edward's age.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm not too happy about it, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you should, because that means we're doing something right if we're still making episodes.
You're right.
But yeah, so obviously, once again, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC. If you guys want to obviously partake in some of our posts that we end up dropping for the show, because we love interaction. We love interacting with you guys. We're still small, so we definitely can interact with everyone that comes across our way. So please go ahead and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Because we're trying to blow up and we're trying to make things pop, not only for ourselves, but obviously for the Esports Network as well. So, yeah. So that is episode 31. Thanks for listening, and catch us next week for episode 32.
Take care, guys.
Insert Name FC. Rock with